Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
What if I told you something tonight? With one word, it could change the whole direction of your life. What if I gave you a hint tonight by giving you one word that could change everything in your life? What if tonight I taught you one word, just one word, that would take you from point A to point B, but to point C as well, meaning it would take you further than you ever thought you could go in your life? One word. Who's ready to hear that word? No. Who's ready to hear that word? That word is yes. Can you say yes? Now, I'm not talking about saying yes to things that aren't of God. But I'm talking about when God speaks, we respond with what? We respond with what? In other words, when God speaks to us, we respond to what God is asking of us and asking for us to do. Because here's what I've learned in life. I've learned that the more you listen to God, the more you do what God tells you to do, the more God's going to give you to do. The more God can trust you with a small yes, the more God's going to trust you with a larger and a bigger yes. And so tonight I want to look at Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And I believe this is such an important scripture in the Word of God, because this word that we're going to talk about tonight in this scripture, it's all about saying yes and doing what God said. So I've titled my message tonight, The Power of Your Yes. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, it says it like this. I'll be reading at the New Living Translation throughout the night. If I change, I'll let you know as well. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, it says this. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country. Say leave. Your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed. Say departed. As the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. What I want to highlight here is this. Abram, who we all know as Abraham, was given a word by God. And the word by God was, Abram, pick up your stuff, leave your family, leave everything behind, and just go. Get out of the place of where you're at. Now, I don't know about you guys, but logically thinking, when God asks you to move somewhere, you're trying to plan things out. Don't look at me like you're not. You're saying, okay, God, I don't have a job in that place. God, I don't know, I don't have family in that place. I don't know what I'm going to do in that place, God. Like, why would you take me from California all the way to Louisiana or somewhere else, God? Like, I don't know what you're trying to do, God. But here's what I love about Abraham. Abraham, known as Abraham, never questioned why God was doing what he was doing. He wasn't hesitant, and he wasn't hesitant on the word go. He didn't nod his head and be like, well, God, I don't know if I should. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Instead, he said, you know what? I'm out. I'm going. And I believe this. I believe that Abraham was a great example of what God wants to do in your life and what God can do in your life with a simple yes to God. See, there's power in your yes. I believe the yes will change generations. I believe the yes will change your situation right now. I believe the yes will change the direction of your kids as well. By you being obedient to what God is asking you to do. Did you realize you're setting up something for the next generation? By you being obedient to what God is asking you to do. Did you realize you're opening doors that no man can open? Do you know those doors are going wider and wider? The more yes you say, the more obedience you step into. A A great man of God said it like this: your greatest breakthrough begins with a simple yes. Don't overlook the power of obedience. Tonight we're going to talk about a few things, and tonight we're going to talk about this: how your yes can do the same thing that it did in Abraham's life that it can do in your life. So my question to you is this, and I want you to write this down tonight. For those note takers in here, write this down. What does your yes do? First thing it does is this: it activates God's plan. Here's the truth. Your yes to God sets heaven in motion. In other words, when God asks you to do something and you say yes to him, it begins to get things moving and begins to get things in motion. A lot of times we don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. We don't understand why God is asking us what to do. But yet if we just step out and believe that God's going to meet us there and believe that God's going to be there with us and we step out and do it, God will show up on your behalf. And here's what it does. It puts things into motion for what God wants to do further down in your life. It's just a three-letter word, yes. Everyone say yes. Yes. See, when you obey his call, even he didn't have a plan or details. He didn't have GPS. He didn't have a timeline. He didn't have a map of where he was going, what he was doing. He just heard the simple call and obeyed what God did. How many of us know that there's a time in our life where God is calling us and asking us to do something, and we're waiting for the perfect time? We're waiting for the perfect place. We're waiting for God to give us the full picture. Can I teach you something? That ain't gonna happen. I wish God would say, hey, here's what it's going to look like. You're going to say yes, and here, let me lay it all out for you. No. It's called trust and called faith. It's called being blind, and I still don't see, but I'm supposed to see, but I know God is there with me. I tend to wonder if we'd wait for everything to be perfect, our yes wouldn't be as powerful. Because I believe God wants us to move on faith as well. He wants us to move on obedience, but he also wants us to move in the fact of knowing, hey, I can trust that you're going to show up, God, on my behalf. Think about it. Think about your family for a moment. What if God spoke to you tonight and said, hey, I want you to pack everything up, leave your job and move to North Carolina and find a new church and find new people to hang around with? What would you do? That's a hard question to answer. Some of us would be like, I'd get out of California in a moment. Others be like, I don't have a job out there. I don't know how I'm going to provide. And some of us would be like, no, I'm too comfortable and I'm good right here. But don't you know when you're in disobedience, you're in a bad place? See, I'd rather step out in obedience and not know where I'm going and what I'm doing and just believe and trust God that he's there with me. Guys, I've never planted a church before. Can I be honest with you? I'm freaked out. You're looking at me like, no, you're not, Pastor. I know you're not freaked out. I could tell. No, I'm freaked out. I was just talking to one of our pastors here, Pastor Mike, and I was telling him, man, this is how I really feel. You may not see it. I may not look like it, but I'll be honest with you. I'm freaked out. But here's what I know. God gave the word. God spoke the word through the man of God. God gave me the word. And now I'm going to be obedient and do what God says to do. Because obedience is a key that's going to unlock your destiny in your life. In Hebrews 11:8, I want to read something. It says, by faith, say faith, Abraham called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance. Obeyed and went. Say obeyed. And went, even though he did not know where he was going. I want you to notice something. What activated God's plan was what? His obedience to God. Church, can I be honest with you? What's going to activate your plan in your life is you being obedient to what God's asking of you to do. Pastor, I don't want to do what he's asking me. You don't have no idea what it is. I don't know what it is. And maybe you don't want to do it. But let me encourage you with something. Do it so you can fulfill God's plan for your life. Maybe it could be a simple thing like bringing a family member to church. Maybe it could be something God's been on your heart for a long time saying, hey, I need you to forgive this person in your life. Maybe it could be just a step into serving at the church. Maybe it could be just being obedient to God's been telling you and speaking to you about bringing up your prayer life even more. And not just wait for Sundays and Wednesday to get the word of God. Maybe God's knocking on you saying, hey, I need you to get the word in your life every day of your life so it can make a difference in you. It could be as simple as that, being obedience. It could be this, and you may not want to hear this, so I'll whisper it, but I'm going to whisper loud. Don't stay up so late watching your TV shows. Because we stay up so late. Oh, one more episode, one more episode, one more episode. Bro, I'm tired. One more episode. You're falling asleep on the couch. one more episode. You know what you just were watching, you didn't even watch, so you gotta watch it again the next day. So you waste more time of your life. Come on, somebody. How do I know? Because I've been that person as well. Just last night. No, I'm just kidding. I love what one person said. He said it like this: discovering God's best for your life begins with your decision to say yes to his plans. Church, if you want to know the best thing for your life and you want the best for your life, it's a simple yes for God's plans and what God's given you for your life. If you believe that tonight, I want you to tell Jesus your own way how you believe that. Anyone ever played dominoes before? I don't like it. It frustrates me. Does it frustrate anybody? Anybody? Just come be real tonight. Does it frustrate anybody? Okay, there are my real people out. They're waving at me. But what do? We set up this little domino, right? And then we push it over, right? And then it goes and knocks the rest of the dominoes down, right? In the same way, that's what your yes does to God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. That small personal step that you take, that little tug that you push, that one step of obedience is a chain reaction to activating God's plan, opening doors, inviting his presence, and blessing generations to come. It's that effect. Here's what I mean. Listen, I didn't know in 2006, God reminded me of something. God had called me to preach in 2006. Many, many years ago, I was working here and I was doing IT, information technology, working on computers, fixing computers. Pastor Mike Asuno, a lot of people here know that this is what I used to do here. Pastor Dan knows, everybody knows, I was the IT guy. I'd walk in the room, Pastor Deborah goes, he walks in the room and demons go, whew, out of their computer, not out of the people, right? It wasn't them. But I remember being in this position of IT, and I remember one day serving in youth for quite some time under Pastor Eddie and Donna and then Pastor Richard and Michelle. Like, I'm going way back, y'all. And I remember serving underneath them, and I remember one day Pastor Richard was like, hey, I want you to start preaching in youth. And I was like, no. I said, bro, I'm okay with being the shush monitor. You know what that is? The one that walks by the kids and goes, shh, shh, shh. When they just look at you like, I ain't going to be quiet. You know I'm going to keep talking. And I remember him saying that, and I remember at home one day, God was speaking to me. He said, hey, I'm asking you to preach my gospel, and you're running from it. And I said, I don't want to preach your gospel, God. I don't stand in front of people very well, God. I sweat when I'm in front of people. God, I get nervous, God. I start shaking, and I start looking weird, God. I don't want to do it. And God, I don't know enough about your Bible to even do it. And God said, the youth pastor is going to come to your door today, and he's going to go, and he's going to ask you, are you ready to preach? And I said, no, he's not. That can't happen. He's got enough people on his team. I'm just an IT person. I'm just a monitor. Like, that is not going to happen. Well, that day when God spoke it to me, it was like 3 o'clock. He never showed up. 4 o'clock, he never showed up. 4:59, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm off at 5. I'm getting out of here. It's a Friday. I got to take my kids somewhere. I got to hang out with my family, getting ready to close my computer. And I kid you not, man, the minute I close my screen, his face is in the window like this. I said, in my heart, I was like, I didn't think he was going to come. But he did. And his question to me was this: are you ready to preach? And my response was this: yes. Woo! 2006, I preached my first message here at the Rock Church and the Rock Youth Ministry. I didn't realize that simple yes then was going to take me down the path that has taken me now. And here's what I didn't realize. That yes then was going to take me down the path that has taken me now, but also further down the path later on in life. Your yes has power, and your yes is very important. And when God calls, please respond with a what? I had no idea it would set me up for what I'm doing today. No idea. But I believe that if I said yes, God was going to do something. And God has used that yes in many different ways throughout my life. So what does your yes look like in action? Let me ask you this. Take a moment right now and ask God this question. What's the one thing you're asking me to do right now, God? Take a moment. Ask God this. What's the one thing you're asking me to do right now? Write it down. What's the one thing, God, you're asking me to do right now? Some of you are like, I don't want to write it because I'm scared what he's going to say. Listen, just write it down. Listen to what God's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you something. And let me remind you, your yes doesn't need to be perfect or fully informed. It just needs to be obedient to what God is asking you. Write it down. Maybe you got to make that call. Maybe you got to pray, or maybe you got to take that first step today and learn to forgive somebody in your life so it stops holding you back from the blessings and the plans that God has for you. So what does that yes look like? Your yes invites God in. My next one is this. It invites God in. When you say yes to God, you're not just agreeing to his plan, but you're opening the door for his purpose to move in your life. If I could be honest with you, a lot of times we think obedience is following a bunch of rules, but it's not following a bunch of rules. Obedience is opening doors in your life that only God can open. When you're in disobedience, you've broke the rule of being obedient, and now you set yourself up for other things in life to happen. And when you're in obedience, you set yourself up for great things, you set yourself up for blessings, you set yourself up for things that God wants to do in your life because of your yes. Remember what I said, even if it was a small yes and something very small, maybe it's say hi to a neighbor, your next yes could be a larger one. When you're obedient in the small yes, God will make your next yes larger than the next. I didn't know saying yes in 2006 would be a yes to planting a church in 2026. I just said simply yes. Yes, God, I'll do it. God, whatever it takes, I'll do it. That yes might be scary, church. That yes might be something you've never said yes to before. It might be start a business. It might be heal a relationship. It might be give your life to Jesus and you've never done it before. That yes is a start to something big. That yes is a start to something large. That yes is a start to something that will outlarge you and others around you. Why? Because Jesus is in your yes. How does it invite God in? Here's how. That yes invites him into your space. A lot of us want our own space. Come on. Can I be honest with you tonight? That's my space, brother. That's not your space. You stay out of here. This is me, and that's it. No, God wants all of this. And that yes invites him in. And that yes of obedience says, you know what? It's not my plan. It's not my will, God. But I'm going to be yes in your obedience. So guess what, God? You got to be in this with me. Just like he was with Abram, who we know as Abraham. He said yes, he left. God showed up. God used the man powerfully. God did great things through the man. But not only that, he set up generations after generations through that guy. Through a simple yes, I'll go. Every time you say yes to God, you're not just obeying, you're opening the door for a wider one. For God to lead you, to fill you, and to show you who he really is. In John chapter 14, Jesus is having real talk with some of his crew, his disciples. Judas, not the one who betrayed Jesus, asked this question. He said this to him. He said, wait, Jesus, why are you revealing yourself to us, but not everyone else? Let's look at how Jesus responds. I love this. In John chapter 14, verse 23, in the NIV, it says it like this. He responds like this. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey. There's that word again. Say obey. Will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with who? Them. That means this. Your obedience invites God in, and he becomes a home, and you become a home for God's presence. Every small yes matters in your life. When you choose to forgive, whether you choose to serve, whether you choose to give or step out in faith, you're giving God room. Ooh, come on. You're giving God room to pour out his peace, power, and favor in your life by your simple yes. So if you've been asking God tonight, where are you? Has anyone ever asked God that? Where are you? Come on, anybody, can we get word of my real people out in here? All of us said, God, where are you? Maybe you're going through an illness. God, where are you? Maybe you're going through a job finding. God, where are you? God, where are you? I thought you'd never leave us nor forsake us, God. Then you start quoting scriptures back and forth, trying to tell God what he says, and you're like, where are you? And he's like, wait, I know where I'm at. Where are you at? Where is your belief at? Maybe he's just waiting on your yes. Oh, maybe God's already given, maybe you've already asked God, where are you? And God's already showed you where he's at. Maybe you've asked God, God, where are you? I need you in this situation in my life. God, I need you in my healing, God. Where are you, God? And maybe God's like, hey, go back to my word and see what my word says. Maybe I'm waiting for you and your yes so I can show you where I'm at. But wait a minute, man. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We gotta wait for that. No. Here's what it's saying. He's waiting for you to say yes. Here's why. Are you going to be obedient to what God is speaking to you? And if you're going to be obedient to what God is speaking to you, are you willing to actually take that step and of faith and believe what God is speaking is true to your life? Or are we just waiting for God to do everything? Well, God, if you want this for my life, then you're going to make it happen. No. Well, God, if you want to do this in my life, you're going to make it happen. No. Well, God, if you want to heal my body, you're going to make it happen. No. You got to quote the word of God. You got to speak the word. You got to take authority of the situations. You got to let God know that you are interested in his word, and you're taking his word, and you're applying his word to your life. So when you apply the word to his life, guess what? Devil, you are outnumbered by God's word. And when you say that yes, here's what you do. When you say that yes that God's waiting for, heaven says, let's go. It's time to rock. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says it like this. New Living Translation says, look. Everybody say, look. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will share a meal together as friends. Sometimes that just knock. God wants to open that door. Sometimes God's been telling you, respond with yes, respond with yes. And the minute you respond with yes, guess what? God begins to move and opens those doors that you've been waiting for to open. I heard a story about a young man who had just moved into a new apartment. It was a nice one, but one room stayed empty. He said he was saving it for later. Has anyone ever done that before, like moving into a place and you have just one empty room and you're like, oh, I'm just going to save it for something. Maybe it'll be my office. Maybe it'll be like the kids' room one day when we have kids, or maybe we'll just keep it there. Well, he was saving it, and months went by. And every time people visited, they asked, that empty room. He'd shrug and say, I don't know yet what I want to do with it. One day a storm hit the city and his apartment flooded, except for that one room. When the repair crew came, they asked, how did this room stay dry? He realized it was built on a higher foundation. It was safe all along. Then it hit him. The room he left empty was the one room with the strongest foundation. He felt the Holy Spirit whisper, that's what happens when you keep areas of your life closed off from me. The places you don't invite me in can't experience my protection or my power. Church, listen, you're not losing control when you say yes to what God's saying. You're gaining his covering over your life. Your yes invites his presence to every space of your life. Your mind, it invites him into your marriage, your money, your business, your family, your ministry. Every part of your yes, you invite him in. The parts you surrender to him, I want you to hear this. The parts you surrender to him are the parts that will stand strong when life storms hit. What are you surrendering to him? Are you surrendering him everything today? Are you surrendering him your business for those who own businesses? Are you surrendering your families, the kids that have gone wayward, and you're praying for them to come back and you're believing for them? Are you surrendering and say, God, it's out of my control, but God, it's in your control. And God, because it's in your control, God, I believe and I trust that one day my child will return home and he will serve you and do what you've asked of him to do. My last one tonight is this. Your yes echoes beyond you. Here's what I mean. Listen, here's what I mean. When you say yes to God, it doesn't stop with you. It starts with you. Your obedience sets in motion blessings that ripple far beyond your lifetime. Abraham's yes didn't just change his address. It changed history. Mary's yes didn't just bring Jesus into her story. It brought salvation into this world. Moses' yes didn't just set him free, it delivered an entire nation. Every time you say yes to God, it sends out a spiritual echo, shaping your family, your church, your community, and even generations you will never meet because of your yes. Maybe God spoke to someone tonight and said, I want you to surrender your business to me. And maybe you're having a hard time doing that. But little do you know, you by you surrendering that business to God and saying, yes, God, here it is. Little do you know that generations will come along and your business will still be with those generations. Because you don't understand, you don't know what that little yes can do, not just for you, but for all those who are around you. When I said yes to serving the Lord, and I met my wife and she said yes to serving the Lord, God began to bless us. And when we had our three boys and they said yes to serving the Lord, God has done phenomenal things in their life. Things that I never would have thought that I could do. Things I never even thought that we could even do as parents. But yet because of the simple yes to serving God. They went from generations to generations. Oh, and here's what I see. I see my two little grandkids now singing worship songs, lifting their hands, praying for each other. Oh, and I see them doing this, teaching them the scripture. When they're in my house, listen, this is more powerful. There is no gift that you could buy a grandkid. There is no gift you could buy your kids. But the biggest gift that you could give your kids is this, a deposit of who Jesus Christ is in their life. Every toy will break. Every toy that makes a sound will stop. But here's what won't. The word of God spoken in their life will continue to speak and go from that generation to the next generation. And if they teach them those things as well, it'll go to the generations after. Your simple yes to God will change generations to come. Your simple yes to God will change your generation. It'll change your kids' generation. Your yes to God will change your direction in life. Why? Because you're being obedient to step out to what God has asked of you. And when your people around you or your kids see you doing that, they're going to want to know how they can say yes next. Oh, can I preach for a moment tonight? That yes changes everything. Little did I know that my parents were going to say yes to God many, many years ago. Many years ago. But they did. And here's what they did. You're going to church. No, I'm not. You're going to church. No, I'm not. They had to drag us into church, but guess what? It did something in our life. Your yes might be start off small, but it's okay. Because in God's hands, it becomes a legacy. Heaven amplifies obedience. Let me say it again. Heaven amplifies obedience. What does that mean? Heaven amplifies means makes it loud. He amplifies obedience. Some of y'all are like, I got to get out of here. This dude's crazy. I love what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, understand, therefore, that your Lord, your God, is indeed God. He is faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey. Say obey. Obey his commands. Your yes doesn't end with you. It echoes through your bloodline. It shouts into the future that God is faithful. Let me just say it like this. Get this. I want you to write this down. Let me say it like this. Somebody's breakthrough is waiting on your obedience. I remember one day being at a lake and taking rocks and throwing them in the water. Anybody ever gone to the lake and throw rocks in the water? Your guys are like, Pastor Don, your life is boring. Promise you it's not. But I remember being a kid taking the rocks and like throwing it in the water. Has anyone ever done that? Wave at me real quick if you've done that, right? And a lot of times you think, oh, the water, you know, I'm gonna throw it, I'm gonna go, and it's gonna just go rip right into the water, right? But instead, what does it do? It makes a ripple effect. So when that rock hits it right and you have that right stone and you go and you throw it right and it just goes and it makes a ripple effect. What is that ripple effect doing? Here's what it's doing. When you throw a stone into the lake, it doesn't just make a splash. It sends out ripples that travel far beyond where it's landed. Your yes to God works the same way. It may feel small, personal, or even insignificant, but it creates a ripple effect that reaches people you never even met. Think about Abraham again. He didn't know exactly how God's plan would unfold, but he was obedient to God's plan. Because he said yes to God, it set in motion blessings that reach Isaac, then Jacob, then Israel, and then ultimately led the birth of Jesus, our Lord and personal Savior of the world. All that began with what? One what? One what? Just like Abraham, your obedience today doesn't just impact your life. It creates a legacy. Your yes can inspire your children, your friends, and your coworkers, and even the next generation. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, I'll prove it to you. It says it like this. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you have obeyed. Say obeyed. Obeyed me. Church, every yes you give to God is a seed. Hear me on this. Every yes you give to God is a seed. Planted in faith, and God will grow it into a blessing far beyond what you could even imagine. Let me conclude with this tonight, that I have a challenge for you in this place. Let me conclude with this. Tonight we've seen it very clearly that your yes activates God's plan. It invites God in and it echoes beyond you. Your obedience is a pathway to God's plan for your life. Let me say it again. Your obedience is the pathway to God's plan for your life. I love what Henry Blackaby said. He reminds us and says it like this. If you know that God loves you, you should never question a directive from him. It will always be right and best. When he gives you a directive, you are not just to observe it, discuss it, or debate it. You are to obey it. Tonight, church, I want to challenge you with something. How many can honestly say right now in your heart that there's something God has been speaking to you about and he's waiting for you to say yes? So raise your hand all over this place. Let me see. How many of you in this room tonight, as I was preaching this message, man, your heart was being tugged and your God is reminding you, I'm waiting for a simple yes. I'm waiting for a yes. Can I encourage you with this? Do it. Don't wait. Respond to it and do it. So I want to end with this. I want to give you this challenge tonight. Say yes today, even if it feels uncomfortable. Even if it doesn't make sense. Because your yes could be the key that unlocks God's next move in your life. Not just in your life, but in someone else's life as well. Can we pray for a moment? Let's go ahead and bow our head and close our eyes tonight. Maybe God's tugging on your heart right now to respond to something he's been speaking to you about for a while. Maybe you're in a place right now and you haven't fully submitted and to that will and that thing that God is asking of you. And maybe you're that one that God's saying, I'm just waiting for you to respond with that yes. Maybe it could be a marriage in here that's falling apart and God's saying, I'm waiting for you both to say yes, I want to stay together. Maybe you're in this place tonight and maybe getting high is one of the things and alcohol is another thing and God is saying, I want to set you free from that, but I'm waiting for that yes from you. But maybe you're in this place tonight and I just feel like God is shifting something inside of us. Or maybe you're in that place tonight where you've never even said yes to responding to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's been, for a while, you've been to service after service after service. And for a while, he's been tugging on your heart, saying, just say yes. Just say yes. And you've said no. And so tonight, I'm going to create an atmosphere for you. And I'm going to make it real easy for you tonight in this place to respond to the yes, to having a relationship with Jesus. Here's why. Let me just talk to you for a moment. A lot of times we go to church and we think we're okay because we go to church. A lot of times we go to church and we think we're good people and because we go to church, we're going to make it to heaven one day. A lot of times we think because we don't do anything wrong in our life and we just don't drive fast and keep the speed limit and don't get tickets and obey the law, but yet we think because we do these good things, we're going to go to heaven. Listen, I got to be honest with you and real with you tonight. You're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say you're going to go to heaven because you're good. Nowhere does it say that. So my question to you is this. Tonight, if you got up out of your chair and you walked out of these doors tonight and your heart stopped out of nowhere and you died, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? ask yourself this question. You might be thinking to yourself, well, I think I might make it to heaven. Listen, you can't think your way into heaven. Nowhere in the Bible say you could go, think your way to heaven and make it. No. You might hope your way into heaven, but listen, nowhere in the Word of God does it say you can hope your way into heaven. Nowhere does it say that. And so I got to be honest with you. We don't know when our last day is here. We could all leave here tonight and an earthquake could hit Southern California and wipe us all out. And we could be standing in front of God tonight and we could hear one of two things. And you can hear either these two things. One, well done, good and faithful servant. But those are the ones who responded to yes, and the ones that said, yes, I need a relationship with Jesus. They're the ones that are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Or you can hear these words, depart from me, I never knew who you were. And those are the ones who never responded with a yes. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. We're here one moment, we're gone the next. Meaning this, you could get up out of your chair tonight and not wake up tomorrow. You can go to the hospital tonight and not wake up tomorrow. You could leave here tonight and not wake up again tomorrow. As a church, we marry and we bury people a lot. And we've seen every age group from teenagers to young adults to senior adults within months go quick. They didn't wake up that day thinking they were going to die. They didn't wake up that day thinking they were going to go out with their friends and have a good time and all of a sudden not make it to the next day. None of you in this room, including myself, is promised tomorrow. But we are here today. So here's how I'm going to do this tonight. Is I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this place tonight and you're saying to yourself, I've never given my heart and my life to Jesus, and you're ready to respond with that yes, that very first step of obedience tonight, to say yes to God, then all I want you to do is raise your hand all over this place. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, if I raise my hand, I'm going to be embarrassed. No, you won't. And here's the thing. Can we look at the trade-off? I'd rather be embarrassed for that moment, because the trade-off is this. I end up in hell for eternity. Wouldn't that be a shame? So who should do this tonight if you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus? If you've been running from God instead of to God? If you've been running from that yes and you've been walking in that no? Who else should do this tonight? Maybe you became a lukewarm Christian, a little in, a little out. You were never fully sold out for the things of God. The Bible says it like this in Revelations chapter 3. And what I love about this, he's speaking to the church in Revelations chapter 3. And he says, when I come back, he didn't say if I come back. It's a matter of when I come back, I better find you hot or cold. Because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. Meaning this, you've been ejected and rejected from entering into heaven. So tonight, I'm going to count to three, and all over this room, if that's you, all I want you to do is slip your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready to respond with a yes. I'm tired of saying no. So if that's you, on three, one, two, three, bang, anybody in this room, pop your hand up. Got you, one, two. Any more? Two wise people, is there any more? Pop your hand up, I'm going to embarrass them, I won't embarrass you. I got you. Three, four, five. I got you. Any more? Just pop your hand up. You see somebody over there. Five. Where at? Pointing them. Five. How many? One or two? Five, six. Two over there. Where you're pointing somewhere. Got you. Seven over there. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up all over this place. I didn't embarrass them. I won't embarrass you, but you make the greatest decision of your life. Seven wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. Eight. I got you. You're pointing somewhere. I got you. Eight wise people. Is there any more? Anyone? I got you. I got nine. I got you in the back. 10. I got you, bro. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. But it's between you and God. You said no too much. And now's the time to respond with yes. Here I am, God. I want a relationship with you. Is there any more? 10 wise people. Is there any more? I'm going to give it a few more moments. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. If you see anyone, just help me out, guys. Anyone in the family room tonight? I see your hand up there, way up there in the family room. I see you. I'm waving at you. I got you. Thank you. Levin. Is there any more tonight? 11 wise people tonight say, tonight, I want to give my life and my heart to Jesus. Stop holding back. Stop letting the pressures of life hold you back from responding to yes to God. Is there any more? 11 wise people. If that's you, just pop your hand up right where you're at. Any more? All right, well, come on, let's give God a praise for 11 wise people tonight. Here's what I'm going to do is this, is I'm going to ask all 11 of you and everyone else just to stand up. Let's give them a hand as they come up. I'm going to invite you up front because I'd like to meet you. I'd like to pray with you. And I'd like to invite Jesus into your life. Come on, if that was you tonight, don't be embarrassed. Just come on up. Come on, we're all family in this place. Come on up. Come on up if that was you tonight. You're serious about this and you really want to respond with a yes. Come on up because we're going to invite Jesus. Come on, into our heart. Come on up. Come on up if that's you. They're coming. Come on, they're coming. Come on, come on up. You're coming up. Come on. Come on up, guys. I see you. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out, man. It's between you and God. Come on. Come on, if that was you tonight. All the way from the family room. Come on, if that was you tonight. Come on up. Just come on up, guys. Come on, church. Give me a hand. Come on. They're still coming. Maybe you should have came and you didn't raise your hand. Come on. Come on up. Come on. I see you, guys. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on up, guys. Give me a hand, guys, as they come up. Come on, church, let's clap for them. Come on, they're coming up. I believe they're coming out of the family room. Come on up. If that's you, we'll give it a few more moments. Come on. Come on up, guys, if that's you tonight. Come on up. Let's give it up for them, guys. Come on, they're still coming. They haven't stopped. Don't stop, church. Come on, encourage them. This ain't getting weak time. This is getting strong time. Come on. Encourage them. They're coming. They're coming. That was you tonight. Come on up. Come on up. We're waiting for you. Come on up. All right. We can't force anybody to come up, but I'm glad you guys came. If you still need to come, come on, they're coming. Come on, guys, I'm going to wait for you. Come on. All the way from the family room. I got you, bro. Come on. Oh, they're coming. Come on. Come on, man. Come on up. That's a good thing, guys. Put a smile on your face. It's a good thing. This is good. Come on up. They're coming. We're waiting, bro. Come on. We're waiting. I know the family rooms are way out there, man, but we'll wait for you. Come on. Well, guys, let me just say this. You responded with a yes to the greatest thing that you'll ever respond to, and his name is Jesus. This little act of yes, little one, which is big in your life, God's going to change so much for you. A lot of you came up with even questions in your head. Is this even real? God's going to show you that it's real. How could God love someone like me and what I've done in my life? You're asking yourself that. Here's how. He's going to show you the love that he has for you because he died for you to give you eternity. So here's what we're going to do tonight is this. You guys responded with a yes, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to say a simple prayer. And what we're going to do now is we're going to invite Jesus into our life. It's okay. It's okay. I promise you it's going to be okay. You're going to feel God's love in a moment. And it's going to be a love you've never felt before. And matter of fact, when you walk out of this room tonight, you're going to know who Jesus is. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer. And what we're doing is this. We're inviting Jesus into our life, into our heart. We're asking him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. Okay? Here's what I want you to know. If you miss a word or two, it's okay. It's all about your heart. It's all about right here. Okay? So I want you to repeat this after me. And matter of fact, everyone in this room is going to say this with you. Father God, I come to you tonight and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, tonight I ask that you come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Tonight, I repent and I turn away from hell and I turn towards heaven. Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me, help me live the life that you've called me to live as a new Christian, a new believer. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, give God a praise. Here's what I want to say to you guys. I got my friend over here, Pastor Joel. He's a great man. Great man of God. He's going to give you a few things and share a few things with you. But here's what I want to tell you guys. One more moment. Here's what I want to tell you. Give us 1 year of your life. Not us personally, but give God 1 year. But here's how you're going to do it. Get into church. We have plenty of services here at our church, 8 services a week. You guys are like, that's a lot. We have youth services for you guys, children's ministry for you guys. We have young adults for you, as well as main services. On Saturday mornings, we have services on Sunday, and we have services on Wednesday as well. Get with the info hub. Pastor can give you information about our services. But here's what I want to say. Give us 1 year of your life, meaning to God, 1 year of your life, and watch what God will do in that 1 year. What's the date today? Does anybody know? Shout it out. October 12th of what? 2025. October 12th of 2026. Watch what God does in your life. All right? All right. Let's give it up for Jesus tonight. Right over here, my friend, Pastor Joel, he wants to talk to you about a ministry here of discipleship. What it is a friend we give to you. They're going to teach you basic things out of Word of God. So go ahead and go with Pastor Joel. He's going to take you guys right over there, share some information with you, give you some free things as well. Come on, church. Give him a praise. Give him a hand. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'd like to pronounce a blessing over you guys tonight. How many enjoy the Word of God tonight? Man, God is so good. Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray, Father God, for the Word, God, that was deposited tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that they would go into their hearts, God, and they would live it out, Lord God. I pray, God, you would keep us, God, and show us, God, and continue to allow us, God, to walk in the obedience, God, and we would say yes to you, God. But Lord, I pray this. I pray a blessing over each and every one of the people that are here tonight, God. Bless them coming and bless them going. And everything, God, they put their hands to, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally. You don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.